theaters on June 6th. Okay. And we had a great theatrical run. We were nationwide, and I think our longest stay, we had a 14-week run in New York, which is really cool, and it was really good. I mean, like, everything was very, very positive, and this is the first time I've ever starred in a movie, so I didn't really know what to expect, and it's just a little, you know, a little movie. We made it in 18 days in Brooklyn, and in April of 2013, and it was like pretty surprising just how nice the reaction was. I mean, I love the movie so much, but you never know.
If I had been, I was thinking. I'll explain for those who haven't seen it. It has to do with a very intriguing new relationship that a stand-up comic plays by yourself has with this guy who sort of comes along in the wake of being dumped, and it's pretty intriguing. And right away, you know, because he's really good looking and he seems pretty mellow and quiet, so he's a straight guy. But pregnancy results very early in the film, and the big question or the issue is, your character doesn't want to broach that because it just feels way too early, and she doesn't want to blow it or maybe scare him off. What was the general feeling on that you saw her motives as? But because from my perception, it seems like she almost blows it by not including him in and giving him the straight the straight truth of what's going on and trusting him to be an adult. You know, she almost.
You know, we were really careful to try to reflect what we think is a more modern and therefore complex female experience. Whether or not that includes an unplanned pregnancy, in this movie it does. But I think our general point was kind of like it is always complex trying to find a way into your adulthood.
Yeah.
And for Donna, it's not about like keeping him or scaring him off or trying to position herself in a way where he will stay. I think that in general is a little bit too overwhelming for her. You know, she's suffering from a lot of personal losses, loss of her job, loss of her confidence on stage, and the loss of her boyfriend. And I think her journey is really, the movie's really about her going from passive to active and trying to find a way to use her nature, which is something that, you know, she cannot get rid of and she can't really tamp it down. You know, she's always going to be an open book and she's always going to be an open person, but she needs to learn how to be truly intimate with the people that are actually close with her.
Yeah.
And I don't know, that to me is a pretty interesting task.
I was really scared. I'll tell you, the movie had me in its grip because I was really scared that she was going to blow it, because it seemed like this guy, you know, there's the percentage of guys out there that qualify, that actually are decent, that are worth knowing and perhaps nurturing a real thing with. Is what, 1 out of 10? 1 out of 20? I'm not trying to be cynical here, but it's, you know, I mean, you're screaming, come on, this is, you don't want to blow this one, come on, you know, and then it finally,
I mean, I don't know, I think in the movie, when Donna goes up and does the third set that you see, where, you know, she's already figured out, she wants to talk to her mom about this, she talks to her mom, and then she wants to live in a world where she can be intimate with her mother and with her, you know, actual close friends and have useful relationships,
right,
and where she can also take that truth and allow it to be part of her creative expression as well. And she goes up there and does that final bit of stand-up for her.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in the end, it's not about whether or not he shows up. It's a lovely extra, and I think that's why, you know, it's a romantic comedy, and we wanted it to be a romantic comedy, and, you know, that's the genre we were working with. But in the end, it is not about whether or not he's there. It's about her figuring out how to best care for herself in the situation. And I think that that is the thing that you know firmly at the end. You don't know if she and Max will stay together, but you know that whatever happens, she's at least becoming a resourceful enough person to find a way through her adulthood, and a way in which she can still be herself and not have to try to be more serious or be perfect,
mm-hmm.
Or she can just still be herself and
Well, I'm only taking the cues of the movie that Donna Stern, your character, is thinking a lot about the failure of one relationship in the beginning, and thinking
yeah.
a lot about, you know, not saying that everything hinges on Jake Lacy's Max character being in love with her or not. It's not that it hinges on
yeah.
that, but she obviously places, you know, emotionally a great amount of value on the idea, at least. She certainly is not indifferent to it. And
right.
you're indicating that, yeah, you know, it might work out, might not, you know, but it's mainly her own personal thing. I mean, she's not uncertain about which way she wants to go. She knows it's the wrong time and not
yeah.
something she wants to do in terms of, like, taking it to term and having the kids. So she's clear about that. So she's, at least she's not
yeah.
on the fence. So. Anyway.
Yeah, totally. I mean, here's the thing is that, and I've said this before, but sometimes I feel that because the fight right now for women's reproductive rights is so fierce
yeah.
and there's so much going on that is scary
yeah.
that we feel like we have to be incredibly serious and uncompromising and just say, you know, we're not scared. We don't have doubts. And
mm-hmm.
I feel like that's a loss that we've incurred in a way, is we should still be able to care about what our partner or potential partner thinks. And we should still be able to be, you know, like, vulnerable and doubtful. And you're right. Like, she likes Max while being like, I don't even know if I can deal with it. It's all happening at once. And
yeah.
I think sometimes that's just something that's not really portrayed. Like, if a woman has an unplanned pregnancy, she's either a victim or she's a hero. And
mm-hmm.
this is somebody who's just, she's not exceptional in that way. She's
right.
kind of, she's a funny girl, and I think a special person, but she is normal, you know, and I mean, she's relatively normal. She's kind of a typical New Yorker in my mind,
mm-hmm.
but that's what I wanted her to be. And you're right, you know, like, mm-hmm. all that stuff does weigh on her, and
yeah.
that to me is what makes the story relatable.
Yeah.
Is that it's not a simple experience, you know? Like, while being stressed out that she has to get an abortion and find a way to pay for it, and is she going to tell her mom? She also has a crush, you know?
Yeah.
And that feels wrong a little bit. It feels like it's not the right time for romance, mm. but. Turns out everything often happens at once, doesn't it?
Sometimes things, the confluence of events is overwhelming, absolutely, yeah.
yeah, I think it is.
What if the universe, the realm, the sphere, if you will, of Obvious Child, that community, which I thought it was fascinating, by the way, that Polly Draper, most people remember from 30-something, is mom. She's
yeah.
really good. I love it when people cast mothers and daughters that... Surprise, this is startling. They actually resemble each other. And you actually say, oh, yes, she looks like her daughter and vice versa. It's like, you know, many people cast, you know, sons and daughters and parents. It's like you're actually telling me that this is the biological child of this person? Because I don't believe you at all. But I really believe it. Right. I saw, but you guys were a good, you know, good match, you know.
Oh, I'm so glad. Yeah, and Richard, too. I think that was very important to Gillian
yeah.
And Elizabeth, who wrote the